We're all living in a time of high stress and anxiety. And while there are many ways people have found solace and maintained sanity during this time, going for brief walks, hikes, and run outside, with the proper social distancing, of course, has been a great outlet. So if that's how you're choosing to get away from things for a bit, then Allbirds has something that might help. Introducing the Tree Dasher from Allbirds, the world's first performance running shoe made from premium natural materials that are engineered to perform. FSC-certified eucalyptus fiber uppers and ZQ-certified merino wool deliver superior comfort and flexibility, and their proprietary sugarcane-derived sweet foam soles have been reworked into a dual-density midsole optimized for cushioning, energy return, and stability. Allbirds also printed the Dasher's carbon footprint right on the shoe, so you know its impact on the planet. They've made the environment a stakeholder in their business, because when the planet wins, we all win. With the new Allbirds Tree Dasher, feel confident knowing that you can run hard and tread light on the planet. Find your pair at Allbirds.com today.
Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. Vince Carter has announced his retirement. ACC Commissioner John Swofford has announced that he will retire in 2021. There you go, Dan Swofford. And finally, Oklahoma's official state vegetable is the watermelon. Watermelons are fruits. Barbasol Shaving Cream is available in five fantastic flavors to customize your close shave, whether it's the classic original or sensitive skin. There's one for every face. Find your favorite Barbasol today. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
This story from Business Week, we'll get to Stan Van Gundy in a second, is one of the reasons, and I believe it was pretty high up on the list, that LeBron James ended up choosing Los Angeles instead of any place else. New story, LeBron James is building a new media company that aims to give a voice to black creators and consumers who have been pandered to, ignored, or underserved. And he just got $100 million investment to build a media empire out there. So he is going to take the lead with some action on giving some power. He's always empowered his friends in a way that has been admirable, and now he's going to empower his community.
I need to make an on-air correction because Sugats, as you know, is a lifelong Jets fan, apparently doesn't even know what position Jamal Adams plays because he's a strong safety.
Oh, because he just kept saying free safety over and over
Whatever.
Again?
He's a safety. I mean.
Okay, thank you. So Stan Van Gundy with us now. He's on your team and your best players, Stugatz. I feel like
yeah, he wants to get off of my team. He's only had to endure it for two or three seasons. I've had to endure it for 45 years. I mean, give me a break.
All right. So Stan Van Gundy is on with us on ESPN Radio. I haven't talked to Stan about any of the things really that are going on in America here recently. So let's start with the latest shiny object. What happened with NASCAR? What do you do? How did you experience all of that?
Well, I wasn't surprised when I first heard the story that, you know, there would be a racist incident in NASCAR. I mean, you know, it's a sport whose fans, I would say if we did, you know, a demographic study of all sports fans in the United States, NASCAR's would probably hold the most racist attitude. So it wasn't surprising. It's virtually an all-white sport for the participants. They have one driver in their, you know, highest series. So I wasn't surprised. It turned out, I guess, to not have been something that happened, or at least nothing that happened, you know, recently. So, you know, but the racism still to me is a story. Look, they got rid of Confederate flags and they had protests against them for banning Confederate flags. I mean, I think that tells you all you need to know about their fan base.
What do you make of Jerry Jones's silence at this time, Stan? We're not hearing from a whole lot of owners in their own words.
No, we're not at all. You know, I think the NBA owners have been fairly supportive. Look, I mean, I think there were somebody, I read something the other day where seven NFL owners made million-dollar donations to Trump's inaugural campaign. And so I think that gives you an idea of where at least several NFL owners stand politically. And I think most of the people who take those stances politically are worried more about the protests and the protestors than they are about what they're protesting. And so the fact that we haven't heard from Jerry Jones or any other specific owner, I don't think, number one, should be especially surprising. I mean, the other thing is all of these owners, I think, don't want to offend any of their fans. And so they're not going to say anything one way or another. I mean, they want every single patron, coming through the turnstiles whenever we open back up, and they want everybody turning on the TV and watching them. So expecting that we're going to get courage in the area of social justice from sports teams owners, I think is delusional.
Stan, if you were still coaching, would you be comfortable coming to this state and playing in that bubble?
I'd probably do it. I guess the way we're conditioned in sports, but I will tell you that I have concerns about the whole thing, and I know they're shared by a lot of people. And I have a specific concern for the coaches because, some of those guys are a little older. Some of them have had health concerns. And we've seen, with college football and the tennis tournament with Djokovic and a women's soccer team here in Orlando that, it's been perilous when you bring groups together in close proximity, and the coaches are going to be, sitting in huddles with guys who are going to be breathing hard and everything else. Yeah, I'm very concerned about them, and I'd probably be a little scared if I was the one having to do it.
He's an analyst for TNT and NBA TV, our friend Stan Van Gundy with us on ESPN Radio. What did you make of what a mess baseball made, as it always does, before finally getting back to work or deciding that they had parameters to get back to work?
Yeah, I didn't get it. I mean, for what the owners ended up getting out of this, which is fewer games because they've calculated, obviously, that they're going to lose money. So for whatever they saved in playing 10 to 14 fewer games and everything, the long-term damage, not only to the sport, but to their relationship with their players, I think the NFL's different, right, because they've had their players under their thumb for so long and have by far, from the owner's standpoint, by far the best position. But for the other sports, they should look at what Adam Silver's done. I mean, he really has created an atmosphere of partnership with the players, and ultimately that's the only way you're going to thrive as a league in those collective bargaining agreements. I think the baseball owners would love to have what the NFL owners have, but the baseball players have done a better job than anybody, even including the NBA players, of protecting their own interests. And now you've just alienated them. Their next collective bargaining agreement, which is coming up in a year, is going to be contentious, to say the very least.
So you think, as basketball returns or tries to return, Stan, you're looking at this and you're thinking to yourself, as someone who strategized and planned this, how the hell do you prepare for playoff games with this? Like, what are the practical difficulties of that?
Well, I don't think that those preparations will really be any different. I mean, I will, you're going to have no distractions, basically, to the players, and you're going to have plenty of time as a coach, uninterrupted time. You're not going to have to spend as much time on other things, and you're going to be able to, basically sit in your hotel room and plan that out. So I don't think the preparation part is going to be the problem. I think the problem is going to be the off-court part. I mean, I just think these guys, coaches also, but especially the players, are going to be bored out of their minds and be very unhappy after a little while there. I mean, I know that the NBA has tried to do everything they can in setting this up so that there's things for them to do and everything else, but we're talking about the teams who go to the finals having 3 months of, you know, not living with their families, even if they're able to come into some games and stuff. They're not going to be in the bubble. I mean, they're going to have 3 months without family, without friends outside of their teammates, without activities. It is set up to be a lifestyle and mental health disaster. But they're going to sign on to it because, look, I mean, they want and need the money, and so do the owners, and so do the TV networks. And so they've decided we're going to try to play, and we're going to try to do the best job possible we can of keeping people safe. And I think what they're doing is the only way to do it. And if they can't, if the NBA can't pull it off with all the thought that they've put into this, then I don't know how we play sports in this country until we have a vaccine or effective treatments, because the NBA is doing everything possible. They're taking every precaution. If they can't do it, it can't be done.
Stan, stay there for a second. We've got a number of questions to ask you, including whether or not you pee in the shower. Stan Van Gundy will continue with us next here.
Stugatz here. Support for the Dan Le Batard Show, Win Stugatz podcast, comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, but at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7 to answer questions and offer solutions. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/Lebatard to learn more. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number is 3030.
We're all living in a time of high stress and anxiety. And while there are many ways people have found solace and maintained sanity during this time, going for brief walks, hikes, and runs outside, with the proper social distancing precautions, of course, has been a great outlet. So, if that's how you're choosing to get away from things for a bit, then Allbirds has something that might help. Introducing the Tree Dasher from Allbirds, the world's first performance running shoe made from premium natural materials that are engineered to perform. FSC-certified eucalyptus fiber uppers and ZQ-certified merino wool deliver superior comfort and flexibility. And the proprietary sugarcane-derived sweet foam soles have been reworked into a dual-density midsole optimized for cushioning, energy return, and stability. Allbirds also printed the Dasher's carbon footprint right on the shoe, so you know its impact on the planet. They've made the environment a stakeholder in their business. Because when the planet wins, we all win. With the new Allbirds Tree Dasher, feel confident knowing that you can run hard and tread light on the planet. Find your pair at allbirds.com today.
The Ed Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Stan Van Gundy going to join us again here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami Only Hour, and our Best of Podcast on Demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends podcast network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcasts.
So Stan Van Gundy continues with us. He's an analyst for TNT and NBA TV. Thank you, Stan, for staying with us through another segment. Given that injuries are going to be more likely, given that we have no earthly idea how many guys are going to test positive, do you believe that we have a greater chance for a distorted champion in the NBA than we've ever had?
No question. And then add to that, I mean, the unpredictability of the injuries and the virus, add to that there's no home court advantage. So, some people always, some people want to discount that. The home court advantage part, I hear it every year, home court advantage, not a big deal. Well, you know, go back and look at the history. It's a huge deal, and that's all eliminated. And so I think that makes whatever happens in the playoffs very unpredictable, and certainly greater chance for upsets.
What did you make of, for example, Wizards forward Davis Bertans deciding to sit out Orlando's restart and Evan Fournier hitting him with the following? This is what's wrong with the NBA nowadays, man. Seriously, though, if you think it's okay to sit and watch your teammates play while you're perfectly healthy, it says a lot about you.
Yeah, look, I didn't have a problem with any player deciding to opt out for whatever reason. I mean, it's a distorted season. The health risks are real. I just don't think anybody should be criticized for that. Look, they're giving up their money for that, so it will cost Davis Bertans some money. You know, and whether he decided that based on, you know, his free agent status or because of his health concerns, I don't think that really matters. It's totally up to him, and I don't think other players should criticize him. I don't think anybody should criticize them for playing. I mean, everybody's got to make an individual decision here in a very difficult time.
If you were coaching in Disney World, what would be the ride most likely to tempt Stan Van Gundy to being on it? Because I have it as the teacups. I think that you're going to be you're going to be a guy on the teacups. What do you have it as, Stan, the ride you're most likely to go on?
No, I'm with Stu Gotts. The teacups are absolutely terrifying. I get motion sickness anyway. The teacups to me were the one no go. I'll go on the roller coasters and all of that. I'm not getting on the teacups. I come out of that, I got to head straight to a toilet and throw up. There's not a chance.
Yep.
My niece, Jeff's youngest daughter, used to come here a lot to go to Disney World, and I mean every year, and occasionally I'd go with her. And you know, I would always kid her. My two favorite rides were It's a Small World and the General Electric Carousel of Progress. I could never bring her around to either one of those, but, I'm sticking with them.
Hold on. Put it on the poll, please, because I believe for people of a certain age, that General Electric Carousel of Progress simply cannot be popular anymore. It can't be. Is it still there? That thing cannot be.
Yeah.
It's still there. The Carousel of Progress is still there. Chris
and it stopped. That's the problem. It's like progress just stopped. Like we only went to a certain point, and we didn't add to the ride like progress. And so what they were projecting as the future has already happened. And we don't have the present or the future. So it is a little bit strange of a ride now.
I was on it back in January, I believe. It is still good. Sing it with me now. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Shining at the
end of every day.
Absolutely.
It's almost as good as It's a Small World after all.
It's a small world after all.
How can you not love those two rides? I mean, I my niece and I argue all the time, and I don't understand how she could not embrace those two outstanding attractions.
Does Stan Van Gundy pee in the shower?
Okay, listen. I heard you guys talking about this. I'm gonna take the fifth on that, but
that's
I will just say this: just because you do it doesn't make it acceptable. You know, I mean, like, we all do things at times that we have to know are not acceptable in any way, and that is certainly not acceptable.
Wow. Okay. Your no comment was damning and incriminating. Stu Gotts has been wanting to ask you a question for about 8 months. He's actually been peppering me with the question. He has been asking me, go ahead, Stu Gotts. You ask Stan Van Gundy this question because I don't know the answer to it.
We're just wondering, Stan. We were all excited thinking we would see you at Dan's wedding and you were a no show. And so we're wondering, what happened? Why did Stan Van Gundy not show up to the Dan Le Batard wedding?
actually, I had months in advance, even well before I got anything on Dan's wedding, I had committed to doing a clinic for USA Basketball, so I was not in town that weekend.
I am heartbroken right now. I am heart. I lost to a, love lost to a clinic.
Convenient.
Do you know how sad that is? It makes me sad. Love lost to a clinic. I would have vigorously.
Yeah. Well, but the other concern I had is that I wasn't going to be seated at the table with your whole crew there on Levitard and Friends, and I would have been off in some lonely table in the corner, not knowing anybody. So if you would have told me ahead of time that I could have sat with your whole crew there, then I probably would have changed my plan.
Jesus. Okay. Get out of here, Shower Pier. Get out of here. We're done with you. Thank you for being on the show with us. Stan Van Gundy, pees in the shower. He didn't say it, but he did say it. See you later, Stan. Good talking to you.
All right. Bye.
Stugatz here. Support for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, but at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7 to answer questions and offer solutions. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/Lebatard to learn more. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number is 3030. Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. Vince Carter has announced his retirement. ACC Commissioner John Swofford has announced that he will retire in 2021. And finally, the Jack Daniel's company gives employees a free bottle of Jack on the first payday of every month. A little perk. If you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know, your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
We have something like that Jack Daniels situation around here. The first of every month, every employee of the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz gets a free opinion from Stugatz that they did not want. That is also something that he gives every single day around here to everybody as a gift. He gives them their own little private shows to enjoy. I know you love this story, Stugatz. Again, this is Bill Simmons heard it, and J.J. Redick has also heard it and has been to the home in question that we're talking about. And J.J. Redick says that there is a man named a businessman in Los Angeles named Steve Jackson who evidently has a full replica of the Staples Center somewhere around his house with, like, all of the stuff, like whirlpools, steam rooms, showers, everything, and that's where the Lakers are practicing. Look, Billy, I don't know what this thing looks like. I don't know what's true and what's not true. You can shake your head no all you want. I'll get to you in a second, Billy, because Stugatz wants to get in here, but Stugatz would love to be this guy if all of this is true.
It seems like a safer place for the NBA to play its playoffs. I mean, playing at that house.
It seems impossible to me that someone has an exact replica of an arena in their backyard. I don't think that that could be possible.
Well, first of all, you don't know how giant the houses are in this area. You don't know how rich this impossible. Steve Jackson is. But J.J. take it up with J.J. Redick, man. I don't know what's true or what's not true. I just know that Stugatz wants to be very badly wants to be that businessman where he could just come out during the day and, hey, there are the Lakers practicing in my backyard.
Hey, do me a favor. Build the garden in my backyard. Yeah, I would love. Well, maybe not Madison Square Garden, but yes, build an arena in my backyard where NBA players can practice. Of course, who wouldn't want that? I mean, God.
And like 25,000 of his closest friends can just come and watch. Like, I feel like you could cut out the 300
levels. The court, not the arena. It's the Staples Center court. It's you have. Yeah. Yes, he's got 20,000.
That's every basketball court. They're the same dimension.
He's got 20,000 seats there. Yeah, for no reason, even though he just has seven or eight friends over to watch them practice.
In Billy's defense, you did paint a picture where there were whirlpools.
They have all that, though.
There were 20,000 seats there for people to hang out and watch, you know? I mean, it's not a giant step once you have the court, the whirlpools, the training room, all the facilities. That ain't a fair question by Billy. I mean.
Okay. Mike, why did your head just drop into your hands?
I mean, they're taking everything literally, but you did sort of do that, Dan.
Okay. So this is the thing about Stugatz, all right?
You said a whole arena.
I want to share something with you guys because it's not just enough that Stugatz, while doing Navaj reads, sounds like he's very sick for a product that he's saying makes you healthier.
To the point that, all right, I'll pull back the curtain. We recorded a spot in which Stugatz sounded so nasally that we sent to ESPN, and they're like, this goes against the entire purpose of this.
Yeah, it's funny. It is totally funny. But beyond that, okay, it's not just that, and it's not just that Stugatz does things like what he just did, where he seizes on something literal and hijacks the show in a way that everyone loves, and then I chase him around frustrated, and that's the whole thing. Like, it's not built on much more than that. Like, that's the thing. Stugatz does that thing, and then I chase him around, and you guys laugh at me and at him. But during the Stan Van Gundy interview, I'm not making this up, okay? I'm trying to concentrate on doing our jobs. And Stugatz texts me, I saw you cough. It looked dry.
Stugatz. It really did. I'm concerned about you.
And he's doing that just to distract me. Stugatz is actively, this is what I want you guys to understand in the audience, of what Stugatz does as my teammate. Okay, I want you to imagine, all right, that Kawhi Leonard is dribbling down the court or just whatever, Paul George, whatever Clipper you want. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Patrick Beverley, his teammate, is defending it. Like, it, all of a sudden, his teammate turns around and...
Lockdown.
And it's just a surprise every time to me, even though we've been doing this for 20 years, that I'm just going along, trying to do the offense, I'm setting up the offense, I'm calling a play, and next thing I know, Patrick Beverley is all up in my shorts trying to steal the show from me.
You revealed to me that it was not a cough. It was a sneeze. That was a dry sneeze. I mean, when people sneeze, things come out of the nose. I didn't see anything come out.
This is what I was doing during the Stan Van Gundy interview.
And God bless you.
Instead of listening, it's yelling at Stugatz, hey, the cough is not dry, you bleep hole, and it was a sneeze. How do you not know the difference between a cough and a sneeze?
I mean, you lean just out of the photo a little bit that I can see you here on the Zoom chat. It looked like you were going in for a cough. Okay, it was a sneeze. Regardless, dry. I mean,
Mike has laughed.
I'm laughing at the fact that the guy that's currently quarantined is the one throwing barbs.
Yeah.
Currently quarantined, and also go ahead and play this sound here, and I'm hoping that he sounds maximum bad here, because if I were Navaj, I would be mad about the fact that somebody was reading again and again, reading this ad while sounding unhealthy.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Clean nose, healthy life. Make good nasal hygiene your new normal. Go to Navage.com. That's Navage.com. You'll love that clean nose feeling.
So Darren Revelle put out a tweet saying top five people at ESPN he would not want to debate based on hearing Bomani Jones felt like disembowel Will Cain. Chris Cody was wondering who would be the person at ESPN you would want to debate if you had to. What do you think, Stugatz? If you had to, there he is.
Finney,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, there he is. because I think we all agree none of us would want to debate Bomani. That would, like, in all my years doing this with Bomani, there's only like two sentences I've heard him lose, and it was to Jay Billis, who cornered him one time on like the name of a UCLA player. But I feel like he's damn near close to undefeated.
I feel like I had all the facts when it came to Kyle Shanahan and Mike Shanahan versus Robert Griffin III, and I still lost.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what Bomani does. Even when you feel like you've won, it still feels like an L. I mean, even when you know you've won, it still feels like an L. He would be last on my list. I'm trying to think who would be first.
Well, Chris,
besides me on my list.
Did you have someone you'd like to do it just in a mirror? Did you have someone that you wanted to nominate on this front, Chris?
Well, I was playing a different game because Darren Revelle was playing the game of who are the best debaters, people that you would never want to have any kind of interaction with arguing something. I was playing the game, who would you most want to have an argument with? Like, who would be the worst person to because they would just not put up a fight and they would just, like, it just would not be much of a fight. And I think I would be on that list because I'm not very confrontational. Billy's not very confrontational. I put Kirkchin on my list because he's just a kind man. Mina Kimes made my list too. He was on Darren Revelle's list of she was on Darren Revelle's list of people that he would least want to interact with. But I was like, she's so nice that I don't think that she should be on that list.
Well, but I think he was doing it in terms of wanting to win a debate and thinking you would lose because you wouldn't have as good an argument. You're just basically doing a different game. Or who are people who are so decent and passive that I would like to hang out with them? Because even if I was wrong, they would just tell me politely. Like that's a totally different game than who would you most want to debate? Because you would probably lose most of your debates to Mina Kimes as someone who is Ivy League educated. My guess is you wouldn't do a whole lot of winning there.
Speaking of debates, we sort of got into one that we were trying to avoid, but then we got bogged down. Is it fashion like a noose? Is it a noose? Is a noose only good for one thing? NASCAR, I don't know if you've seen this on your timeline.
I saw the picture. I need to have it compared to other garage nooses.
More interesting than the actual photo, which I think looks to any of us that aren't around NASCAR garages a little concerning and certainly worth a call and a deeper look. NASCAR president, this comes courtesy of Marty Smith, who's reporting NASCAR president Steve Phelps says NASCAR conducted a thorough sweep of all 29 tracks where they race and 1,684 garage stalls. They only found 11 total ropes that had a pull-down rope in a knot and just one noose, the one in Bubba Wallace's garage. Now, there's photographic evidence. Their investigation told us that there's photographic evidence that proves that this pulley was there in 2019, well before anyone would know Bubba Wallace was in there. But it's the only noose. This might be the greatest, most horrible coincidence
in the history of
all these controversies.
I think, and this happens a lot with these kinds of conversations, no matter how dumb they get, even if they end up in a NASCAR garage, like because these are really small racial stories compared to what it is that has America upside down right now. Like this one, I don't want to say that it's stupid. I will just say it's gotten a disproportionate amount of attention when it is something that is by itself very small. But the thing that bothers me about this, Dugatz, is that picture will go out and the people who were where they were before will have the same opinions and the people who were on the other side will have they'll have the same opinions different from those people. Like you will see whatever you want in that photograph. Right. It looks like a noose to me, but you will see whatever you want based on whatever your confirmation bias is, whatever it is that your predispositions are. I don't think a whole lot of people on one side are going to see that photo and then go to the other side. I don't think that a whole lot of people on one side are going to hear that fact that Mike Ryan has given, that that's the only damn rope in all of NASCAR that was fashioned to look like a noose, and have their minds change because I saw him taking a victory lap a couple of days ago. They're not gonna change their opinion on this. And I'm looking at the photo and I'm telling you, I need comparisons on the other garage pulleys. And Mike is telling me that none of the other garage pulleys look like that.
Well, his crew chief, Bubba Wallace's crew chief, went and checked before he reported it to NASCAR, went and checked the other lockers because he was interested in the same thing that you're interested in. And he said, no, none of them had what Bubba Wallace's locker had in it. And he also said, Bubba Wallace said this, I've never seen that in all my years of racing. Like, I've been in a million lockers, and I've never seen that in a locker.
I think the rational take here is, given all the evidence that we've just heard, this was certainly worth investigating, regardless of the investigating turning up something that maybe wasn't what we expected.
Wasn't a hate crime, yeah. And wasn't necessarily directed at Bubba Wallace.
But you can certainly understand, given the information we were just given, why this escalated to the point that it did.
The thing that I should have mentioned yesterday, okay, is that, and I was remiss in not mentioning this, that whatever you think the damage is done to the American conversation on racism by it being quote unquote a hoax or whatever it is that you thought that that was, okay, there wasn't an injured party when the media jumped to a conclusion. Like, there wasn't a human being who got dragged unfairly because the facts weren't complete. The victim here would be NASCAR, which just had its biggest moment and actually handled the investigation really well and really transparently. Like, if you believe that Bubba Wallace was not the victim, there was not another victim from what happened afterward, which is people jumping to conclusions on this. So it becomes a public relations crime that we've learned in sports that even if it's bad sometimes, it's sometimes good for your sport because NASCAR more relevant this week than it's ever been.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.